Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, when you're looking for the most influential basketball people, certainly from Western Pennsylvania, but in the country at large, I think he qualifies as well. They did make a movie about him, after all, called Air, with Matt Damon starring as Sonny Vaccaro. You won't find many more influential people in the world of marketing, in the world of basketball. And he's a Pennsylvania guy, Western Pennsylvania, from Trafford. And he's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, here to talk about his new book called Legends and Souls, the legend himself, Sonny Vaccaro. Sonny, how are you?
I'm good. Now that I'm talking to Pittsburgh, and I've been waiting for a week to do this show again.
I know. We couldn't wait. Bob, I watched the movie.
It was a great movie. And the fact that Matt Damon plays you, that's a pretty high compliment right there, I think, too.
Well, anybody that would have the nerve to play me really should be complimented. So I appreciate him playing that role.
He was great, and that prompted me to have Sonny on 2 weeks ago. I didn't know that a new book was in the works, but here it is. He said he would come on 2 weeks later, and here we are. Legends and Souls. I'll copy a question you were asked, I believe, by maybe NPR did an interview with you, Sonny, and that is how your upbringing in Western Pennsylvania sort of helped to shape you and everything you've done in the world of basketball.
Well, you know, forgetting the world of basketball, just shaping me as an individual, growing up in Trafford with the family and all the other families, it didn't shape me. It molded me into having certain principles and certain ideals about what the world was every year I got older. But it was the community. And as I grew older, it was Western Pennsylvania, you know, and I got involved in events like the Dapper Dan, you know, through the years. But it was my beginning. My family, as everyone, you know, everyone listening to this, and I'm sure it's the same way, still the same way. Family was so important, and this could still be so important to you. And that's what I owe my, whatever this is called now, success or whatever this age. It all started in Pittsburgh and Trafford.
So, Sonny, I want to ask you, for me, I always, when I hear your name, I think of the, you know, your voyage into Nike. And Michael Jordan, you know, sneaker deals were not around before you decided to get involved with them. And I'm very curious how that all came to be, that you would get Michael Jordan to be your first client, I guess.
Well, I'm surprised, too. I don't have the answer, and I never will. But I know how it happened. It happened because of a made basketball shot that I was at a basketball game between North Carolina and Georgetown. And I was rooting for Georgetown, and this young kid makes this shot, you know, and everything took 17 seconds. And for some reason, I remember that the young kid happened to be Michael. I never thought of him again because I was working for Nike. I rooted my butt off for Georgetown to win that game because I was close to John Thompson. Most of those kids played in the Dapper Dan, that, you know, the Don Dare So to tell you the honest truth, it was one of the five most improbable things that happened in my life that I would even be in this world. Because if Georgetown would have won, my life would have changed, and I would have never ever gotten involved, you know, with Nike in all probability. Everything changes along the way. So I would never have known Michael Jordan. There was no reason ever to find him after that. But once he did that shot, you know, psychologically, it was stayed forever. I evolved into this person, and I'm now working for Nike, and they asked me to make a decision on giving all the money that they had at that time in endorsements. And it wasn't a lot at that time in the 1980s. Everyone thinks the Nike today is the Nike of 1980s. It isn't. They were ready to go belly up in a lot of situations. I just happen to remember that shot, and I want to continue on with your conversation. It changed my life, but it changed the lives of many people, and certainly of marketing.
Certainly changed Michael Jordan's life, too, in the fact that he still makes tens and tens and tens of millions in passive salary from his deal with Nike, because his mom, really, you told me, Sonny, was the one who wanted to include as part of his deal with you. He's going to get a cut of every single sneaker. Is that right?
Well, that's right. And the parents, you know, wore the backbone, but Dolores' mom was the real say so. You know, David Falk was the agent. He did everything they said, obviously. No one ever knew what was going to happen except hopefully what I thought would happen, and then being able to involve myself with Michael personally and later with his family. But mom and the whole family, that whole scene will never happen again because everything was first. Everything we did that night, giving him that much money, rolling the dice, giving him a percentage, going to someone, no one at Nike knew that he wasn't the primary pick. People wanted to take three guys. You know, my thing was one. You know, I don't want to belabor that, but it was the most, you know, fantastic thought, but everlasting event that ever took place in my life, for sure. Michael signing changed the world, and certainly Michael changed marketing.
Talking to Sonny Vaccaro, he's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. Glad you could join us here on Pomp and Joe. Well, it would have been enough for most people to sign Michael Jordan, but you also signed Kobe Bryant. And in between the time that we've talked here, Sonny, I read the book Three Ring Circus about those Shaq-Kobe years in L.A. And sure enough, there you were in the book. And when you met Kobe, or at least when you had your most significant interaction with him, he was a high school kid from around the Philly area. He was at your All-Star game or your All-Star camp. Yeah. And he didn't win the MVP the first time around. And what did he say to you? What was the conversation after that?
Well, he was a junior. I knew because his father was the MVP of the Denver Dam in 1971, Joe Bryant. That's his daddy. So I knew Joe, and he brings his son along 23 years later. After the tournament up there, he walks up to me and said, "Thank you, Mr. Vaccaro, for inviting me to camp or something." I said, "But I want to apologize." "What for, Kobe? You made the All-Star team. You had a great, they just finished up the All-Star game." He said, "I'm going to come back next year, and I'm going to be the MVP of the whole camp." Those words were given to me by a 16-year-old kid who just came over to America, just so the public understands that. He spent his early days in Italy because his father was playing the last year of his professional ball over there. So Kobe and I sort of bonded in my mind that day when he said that. The audacity, the strength, the cockiness, whatever you want to call it. And if you follow his obviously all too short career and the horrible death he ended in, that's who Kobe Bryant was all his life. And I saw it, not that I'm a genius, I saw it because it was in front of me, that he just wanted the most. He's going to be the best. And when it was all said and done that he couldn't play anymore, he's certainly up there in that category.
Sonny, I want to get into the round ball, but before I do that, I also want to ask you, if I'm not mistaken, you were the guy who approached coaches, college coaches back in the day, and came up with deals for them as well. So the soul you've provided to the game of basketball goes on quite some time here. What was that like, and who did you first approach about signing a coach to a shoe deal?
Jerry Tarkanian. After I convinced Phil Knight to give me some money and put the shoes, pay the coach and put the shoes on the kids, I was living in Las Vegas at that time, and Jerry was a dear, dear friend, and you know, until his death. But I knew him because when he was Long Beach and got the job at UNLV very well. And I flew back from Oregon that day, and I called Jerry that night, and I said, I want to meet you in the morning. And I got an offer here, can't refuse. And I went over to him, and he didn't refuse. It took about 5 minutes to say, you're going to give me $10,000, and I don't have to pay for the shoes. It was sort of what Belvano and a lot of others said later on. But Jerry was the first guy, and he led me on to other guys. And then the next year, we were really rolling. Yeah, Jerry was the first guy.
Sonny Vaccaro on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Talking about his new book with Armin Katiyan. Sonny, when it comes to NIL and players getting paid, what's your thought on all this? There seems to be a sentiment out there, especially among a lot of these coaches, some of whom have stepped down because of this. Tony Bennett is one who's been outspoken. What do you make of this, of the state of players getting paid?
Well, O'Bannon and I think we had a part of that. I mean, I think, you know, that it took 100 years for them to do it. I mean, it was the biggest sin ever perpetrated on mankind, young kids. Now, I know I'm exaggerating quite a bit here, but I'm saying to you, what right did the NCAA have to say that these kids were so-called amateurs and deprive them of earning money off of their backs, you know, all those years? And for the coaches, and I know everyone that quit, they were, I signed both of them guys the Nike contracts way back when. They're still friends of mine, but it's hypocrisy at its very peak. Absolutely. For years, the kids were tied to their thoughts that you went there, you had to stay there for 4 years or until they kicked your butt out, or if you wanted to transfer, you sat out a year. They kept getting paid and paid and paid and paid, and I paid them. I paid some of them $250,000 to wear the shoes that I wanted those kids to wear. So it's hypocrisy. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like them. I don't respect them. They have their voice. But they were employed by the universities, and I think it was all fraud. And as far as the best thing I ever did was being able to grow up and travel with my family and all the things that I was able to do at a young age, starting with the Dapper Dam. The best thing, when it's on my tombstone, it's going to be, my thought, the O'Bannon trial. That's the best thing I could have ever done, was do something for others. You really don't know who they are. But to answer your question and not sort of rebut you, because you're asking a very fair question, I think the coaches are full of crap, and I think that all the public that think that these guys, the kids couldn't get money. Well, I'll leave this on there. I know we're limited time, and I want to talk some more. Here's what I'd say. These schools are paying the kids now, aren't they? They're giving Rick Pitino just said yesterday he's never recruiting a high school player again. Right. Well, why do you want to go through watching the kid evolve and transfer the next year? You know what? Good. I'm glad. Because those kids that are transferring, they're putting themselves in. Just like you, I know one of you guys have been there for 45 years, and you're historically famous. You were one. Those days are over. If you could have gone to whatever it was and you liked it better, you would have been able to leave on your own. You chose to stay. These kids are put in a vacuum. So this is the best thing I ever did was O'Bannon.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, that was a court victory that kind of set the stage for this NIL. But where do you think it goes from here, though? Because there's a lot of pushback about how much money and how it should be distributed. And what do you think is in the future here, Sonny?
Well, now they're deciding how they're going to distribute the money they're going to give. They shouldn't have that right. But I don't think there'll be an NCAA. I pray to God if you give me a couple more days around here. But anyway, they're going to be run by businesses. The universities, you know, they're going to make a deal. Who the hell said that these five commissioners should run the whole thing? You guys are deep into sports. You know what I'm talking about. The Big Ten. I mean, they control the whole damn, you know, what the football thing is. You know, if it was up to the schools, they wouldn't even have a regular season. Let's just start a tournament in basketball, you know, at the beginning, and let's see if we can just keep selling television ads. It's a one-way street, and what I want to make positive right here, the one-way street has now got a blockade on it. You can't go past it anymore. The kids can go.
Sonny Vaccaro, we're talking to his new book, Legends and Souls, about the remarkable career of, I guess, many things, but a sports marketer extraordinaire, Sonny is. I want to ask you about the round ball. Bob brought that up. So many people around here love going to that game. One of my fond memories, my brother came to visit me right after I moved to Pittsburgh. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Shaq was in that round. It was unbelievable. But what I want to ask you is, who is the greatest, single greatest talent you ever saw at the round ball?
I will never answer that question, or who's the best pro guy. I can't do it. It's impossible to do that. I mean, you've got to go back to Calvin Murphy if you're starting at the beginning, because what him and Sammy Iacino did in 1965 or 66, two peanut guys, put on a show in Pittsburgh that, you know, continuously made the Dapper Dan sell out. I mean, so I would say, and I said very easily before, not that as you know, obviously Calvin was a great college player and pro player, but as life goes on, those kids and the kids today are so much more improved and better. Not that they weren't good then, but it's all the advantages kids have now of other things that the young ones didn't. But the Dapper Dan, you know, if you played in the Dan, or if you played in that first game, the Jimmy Taffy game, which I thought was one of my better ideas to add on, the local. That's what Pat and I decided to call it. Now, Pat DeCesar was a co-producer, you know that. He's my partner, and been my partner. It wouldn't have been a Dapper Dan without Pat. But that Western, you know, the Western Pennsylvania All-Star thing against City Catholic League got, I guess, over the years, thousands of scholarships. And that was the scholarship game. And a lot of great players played in that.
May I throw one thing here, Joe, at the end? And I believe this, and I've believed it for quite some time, that Sonny is not in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he really should be. You're talking about how the game has changed and how he has been the kind of trigger for it to change. I don't know if you have feelings about that. It may not bother you one way or the other, but I, for one, think you have a place in that Hall of Fame.
I appreciate what you're saying, and others have said the same thing. You know what? If I say something, it's in, you know, because of ego, vanity, but everybody likes to be respected for the job they're doing. And if that's an accolade that you get along the way, what I did, I am in the Hall of Fame. I'm in the Hall of Fame of making friends and being able to do things for other people in my life. But when you get to, you know, that sort of a situation, that's not my calling. That's for other people to vote on and do whatever they want to do. But there are plenty of people that have deserved it and, you know, somehow didn't get into it. Certainly it would be nice, but certainly it didn't end my life, did it?
No, you sound great. And I'm just saying that I think, you know, you're talking about people who have been contributors to any game, who have influenced the game, who've done the things that you've done to change the game. There should be a space in there for that.
And I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I would. But it wouldn't just be representing me. It would be representing everything that I stood for, all the kids, all the schools, all the whatever. Because that's why I would be put in something like that. It's because of other people's children that trusted me to put a kid on an airplane in California in 1965 and flying to Pittsburgh when they were the first time they were doing it. And they trusted because some mother or dad or some coach trusted who this guy was. That's where that is my Hall of Fame. But I know what you're saying, and I appreciate it. I don't want to pretend I'm not vain here, and I understand what you're saying. But it's not our control. But I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It would be nice, but it would be nice for Pittsburgh, too. It really would, because without Pittsburgh, Sonny Vaccaro wouldn't have had an opportunity to be in a Hall of Fame.
All right, Sonny, if we could finish with this. I'm going to name somebody who played in the round ball, and you, just a quick, even like five words or less, something like that, just tell me what comes to mind, okay?
Go.
1983, Pearl Washington.
Oh, my God. Pearl Washington was the first of the Showboats.
Man, I loved him.
And he backed it up.
I love that guy. 1979, Dominique Wilkins, Bob. How about that one?
Oh, nobody better when it comes to soaring through the air.
Sonny?
Well, he was the first of the dunkers, and you're absolutely right. He was the first of the dunkers before we knew what the heck the dunkers were. That's exactly great, Bob. Thank you.
I'm looking at these attendance figures, too, from the Civic Arena. One of my favorites. This was a guy I used to imitate in Nerf basketball. Campy Russell from Michigan. He shot the ball over his head. He came to the arena many years later as an executive for the Cavaliers when LeBron came here for an exhibition game. And I went up to him and said, I used to imitate you in Nerf basketball. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Anyway, Campy Russell.
How can you shoot a ball on top of your head?
Exactly.
I mean, how could you do that? It was the most... In fact, there was a kid at Duquesne way a long time ago that used to put it above... Dave Ricketts' brother, I think, he used to put it above his head and shoot that set shot. You know, Campy, and things like that, these kids did when they were young and we didn't know what the hell they were doing. There was a guy named Helicopter... You know, somebody in New York, he can jump on top of the dam and take a quarter off the top of the scoreboard or some darn thing. Legendary things happen without anybody around, you know, and then you just keep saying and talking about it. But those three issues right there, that's what legacy is. Remembering something that shouldn't have happened, but it did happen.
1989, one of your MVPs was Shaq. What do you remember about that guy?
Well, Shaq, easy to remember, but not so much from Pittsburgh because he wasn't the highest rated guy coming in. He came in with that. He's still mad at me because there was other guys in there. He said I gave Houston before I gave him to him. But Shaq proved to be, you know, obviously one of the greatest players ever to play. The most outspoken individual coming from those decades until today. And he also happens to be one of the most literate, successful guys ever. So a kid from a background, his father was in the Army, and he was in Europe and all that stuff. When he came to the States to play in the Zapatan, he had just come back to America. So Del Brown actually helped me get him. I didn't really know that much about him. And Del Brown, because of, you know, Louisiana, that's how I even got him. But, you know, so many stories like this at the Zapatan, especially the early one, you know, Moses Malone. I mean, my God.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh.
Moses Malone.
So, but this has been great. I like this question and answer. I like history.
Well, I'll finish it with this one. I'd be remiss. I have a very good friend, Frank Benkowski from Ambridge. I've known him for 30 years. And every time I see him over these 30 years, he mentions the Ambridge. Was it the 67 Bridgers or 68? I can't remember. But Dickie DiVenzio was your MVP in 67.
As soon as you said Dickie DiVenzio, I mean, as soon as you said Ambridge, it was Dickie DiVenzio at this time. Now, let's go back to, you know, Calvin Murphy and all this stuff where little guys had things. Dickie DiVenzio was one of the most talented kids I've ever been around. And you're going back to that era when, you know, today you see it all done. Dickie could shoot, run, but he was a hero in many, many ways. But his ability to play basketball with, you know, with that team of that era is legendary, and he should be recognized. He went through an awfully hard time at the end and that stuff, and the things at Duke didn't work out as well. But if you're just talking for a shot of a kid there, that team and that kid was as good as anyone that ever played in that game.
Sonny, The book is called, as you know, Legends and Souls, the Memoir of an American Original. We appreciate you taking the time. Good luck with the book, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Sonny.
I pray we do, and thank you guys for sure. I'd love to do it. God bless everybody from Western Pennsylvania and my family in Trafford. Bye-bye.
Take care, my friend.
Just as engaged as he's ever been. He's 85 years old, and he goes back with the memory, man. That's incredible.
I know you love basketball, too. I could talk about that stuff all day, and that was. My brother came to – I just moved to Pittsburgh in 89, and I'm looking at the MVPs from that game. I remember we watched Shaq. Shaq was the East MVP and Billy McCaffrey for the West. We were part of a crowd of 12,378. You must have covered a bunch of those.
Oh, it was unbelievable, and great access to interview those guys. Again, you have to remember, these are the up-and-coming – it's almost like watching AAA baseball. You know they're talented, but where would they end up? And then you look back after they achieve all this greatness in their NBA careers or wherever they played, and then you look back and say, I remember them. I remember when Moses Malone came to town. I remember when all these guys...
LeBron in 03.
Yeah. I remember I was a judge for a slam dunk contest once at the Peterson Event Center for one of the slam dunk things.
Who was with? Was Grant Hill one of them?
Grant Hill was one of them, yes.
Yep. I think, was Kijana Carter with you?
Kijana Carter, all those guys.
I was there that night. Yeah, I talked to you.
Did I pat you on the head or did I actually engage you in conversation?
I think we didn't even know each other yet, I think.
No, it was really fun, and I used to love that stuff. Kobe Bryant. Me too. We still have an autographed basketball that they gave all the judges with Kobe Bryant's autograph on it.
Here's his dad from the 72 round ball. Jelly Bean Joe Bryant was the MVP for the East that year.
What a great thing. It was all because of Sonny Vaccaro. He had a vision, and he went after it.
Wow. All right. We wrap it up next. Limits, did you enjoy that conversation?
I loved it. My dad was telling me a story last week about how, because he knew that Sonny was coming on, we were talking about it. Baldwin actually went down at one point, I think right around the time when he was in high school, and played like in a part of like the round ball classic.
Yeah.
He went down there. He watched Magic Johnson play in the round ball. Like, oh, my gosh. He had so many good stories about it.
Another thing we watched around that 1990 time, or somewhere in there, was Jerry McCullough outplay Allen Iverson at the Civic Arena in a game. I know Pitt fans remember that night. Georgetown came in here with Iverson.
Oh, that's
and
right.
McCullough outplayed him and Pitt won.
I remember Patrick Ewing coming into town. And who was the big Pitt center who would go in there just to follow him all the time, basically? I mean, he was...
Morningstar?
Darren Morningstar.
Yeah.
I mean, he was better than that. I'm just saying that they had fouls to give. And their whole thing was get in there, be physical
give
with this
the
guy.
Fouls.
Give those files when you can. Darren Morningstar was great.
And I love it.
Those days back at the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse when those games were taking place,
it's great.
The atmosphere was incredible.
Incrinculant, some would say. One of my first memories here was a packed fieldhouse to watch Dante Calabria and Blackhawk play against Perry. What was his name? The guy for Perry who was the star of the game. Who was it? What was his name? Bob.
Did they beat
Blackhawk? Eddie Benton.
Eddie Benton, I remember that name, yes.
He went to Vermont.
And Dante Calabria had a great overseas career. He went there and was making a lot of money.
I called him a couple of years ago when Vince Carter retired. It's funny you mention his name because I was watching Inside the NBA last night and Vince Carter was on. And one of the topics they were talking about was him, Shaq, the host, I forget who else, the greatest dunker of all time. That was my column. Was Vince Carter, I think, was the greatest in-game dunker of all time. So I called Calabria, and he told me, I said, what was his best one at North Carolina? And he said he gave him a bad inbounds pass under their basket, or under the other team's basket. A bad inbounds pass, and he reached back with one arm and dunked it over somebody. He was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. And the athletic ability back then... Before you saw what's happening today with these athletes who were getting so much specialized training, nutrition, all this stuff. Back then, it was in short supply. It was just natural talent, and it was fun to watch it throughout the years at the round ball, for sure.